You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Roman Battaglia. A new investigative report reveals a number of California retailers illegally selling cherry cola, bubblegum, and other flavored nicotine pouches with high doses of the addictive drug. The author of the report, Caitlin Moore, joins the exchange. She's the research manager at the Center for Environmental Health. Welcome, Caitlin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So it seems apparent to me that bubblegum-flavored nicotine is catering to a particular consumer. What did your investigation find?
Yeah, definitely. Our investigation looked at what flavors of products were being sold in the state of California. California has a flavor ban law, and so nicotine and tobacco products are not allowed to be sold in different flavors, including fruit flavors, including candy flavors like bubblegum. And what we found was that of the 13 stores we visited, nearly half of them were carrying those flavored products, which was a particular concern because California passed that flavor ban because we know that flavored products do increase youth use of tobacco and nicotine products.
Yeah. Your report also talked about social media use. How is social media being used to market these flavored nicotine products, especially to children?
Yeah, I mean, TikTok has obviously been very popular for the last few years, and I think it did play a part in the surge of popularity around nicotine pouches, especially Zyn. Zyn is like the largest nicotine pouch brand, at least in the United States. And there was one study that we looked at that came out in 2024 that observed the top 100 videos under the hashtag Zyn on TikTok. And what we found, or what that study found, was that more than 400 million people saw those videos. And nearly 80% of them were videos that portrayed nicotine pouches in a very positive light. And they also seemed to really cater to younger audiences because 58% of them featured people that were 29 years or younger. And there was even one of the top 100 videos that featured a teenager, which is obviously a major problem.
Yeah. Wow.
We also looked at a study that showed that Velo nicotine tobacco or nicotine pouch ads had reached, or 39% of their audience for their ads were people under 25 years old. And that's kind of like the cutoff where nicotine is particularly harmful for developmental impacts.
Yeah. And from what I understand, a lot of the companies are, you know, meant to, or a lot of the time they try and claim that they're appealing or marketing these nicotine pouches as a tobacco cessation alternative, as a way to get off of cigarette use. But, you know, if they're appealing to people who are younger and not using cigarettes in the first place, they're clearly trying to get people to come on to nicotine use.
Yeah, it's funny because the nicotine pouches aren't approved by the FDA as smoking cessation devices, so they can't really be promoted as such. But if you go on to the websites of these nicotine pouch products, Zyn, for example, says that their product isn't a smoking cessation device, but they also say that their products are not intended for people who have never used tobacco or nicotine products, or who have quit using tobacco and nicotine products. So it seems like a weird discrepancy there.
Yeah, interesting. So your research found that you went out and found that half of the retailers that you went to were carrying these, you know, nicotine pouches that were illegal under California law. How were you able to find these different retailers selling these flavored pouches?
Yeah, we honestly just went to different local stores around the Bay Area. We visited a couple gas stations, larger stores, but the bulk of the stores we visited were smaller independent smoke shops, and those were the stores that ended up having flavored products. Whenever we visited larger establishments, places like Walgreens sell nicotine pouches, but they're selling what is approved. And so it was really the smaller independent smoke shops that we came across that were selling the flavored products. And what we also found was that sometimes you had to go in and ask for them. So they weren't always necessarily in the front of the house. But if you went in and asked, there was the potential that the clerk might have something in the back that they would share with you. So definitely an indication that at least some of the stores we were visiting knew that what they were selling was not allowed.
So it sounds like that the places that you went to just on in your research, it was mostly the smaller sort of independent, tobacco stores that were selling these illegal flavored pouches rather than the large, pharmacies or gas stations or places like that.
Exactly, yes.
So, what happens to retailers then if they're caught selling these illegal pouches?
That's a great question. I do believe there are some civil penalties when the Department of Public Health in California finds any violations. I believe they have a there's like a number, maybe like $50 per unit that they are selling that are in violation. And in addition to that civil penalty, there are penalties regarding suspension of license or even a license being completely revoked.
I wonder if you feel like that is this an example then of the state enforcement mechanism failing to catch these smaller retailers who are selling these illegal pouches, or is there something else going on there?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. This law really came into effect, or the newer version of the law came into effect in 2025. And so this was really our first time even investigating to see what compliance looked like amongst retailers and smaller retailers, especially like those independent smoke shops. And what we found was alarming and concerning. So I definitely think the information we have uncovered indicates that better regulation would be helpful from the state.
Because it obviously it sounds like this flavor ban came into effect at the beginning of this year, right? So, and it sounds like some of the shops, it sounds like some of the shops might be knowing that they are illegal now, but maybe things are still getting caught up in terms of the enforcement, but there might just need to be more enforcement from the state in terms of this flavor ban specifically.
Yes, exactly. There was one store where they even told one of our shoppers that they knew it was illegal in California.
My guest is Caitlin Moore. She's the research manager at the Center for Environmental Health and the author of the revealing report, A Candy Shop of Deception: Big Tobacco's Evolving Plan to Addict Generations of Users. Caitlin, what initially prompted this investigation for you guys?
CEH has a quite a long-standing history actually monitoring the big tobacco industry. We started our first investigation into them over a decade ago, back in 2015. And that was when vaping products and e-cigarettes were kind of surging in popularity, especially amongst youth. So at that time, we purchased and tested nearly 100 e-cigarette and vaping products, probably ended up exceeding 100 through 2016. And what we found was that the majority of the companies we investigated contained not just nicotine, but also cancer-causing chemicals like formaldehyde and acetaldehyde. And so at the time, we were able to litigate with the companies and get them to sign settlement agreements to reformulate their products to remove those cancer-causing chemicals and to put warnings on their products to warn consumers in the state of California that the products they were consuming could expose them to nicotine, which has reproductive and developmental risks involved. And in addition to that, the phenomenon we saw at the time was very similar to what we're now seeing with nicotine pouches, which was that we felt like the products were clearly being geared towards younger people, especially with all the flavored products that were available at the time. So what we saw with e-cigarettes again was very similar with what we're now seeing with nicotine pouches with the flavors. We found a bunch of different fruit flavors, also candy flavors like chocolate and caramel apple. And so when we entered those settlement agreements with those e-cigarette and vaping companies, we were also able to get nearly half of them to legally agree within their settlements to adopt certain requirements and policies that would limit that marketing and catering to youth. So, like I said, nearly half of those companies agreed to even stop offering those flavored products when we signed settlement agreements with them. And that was before the flavor ban in California. So that was a huge success. And ever since then, we've kept our eye on the big tobacco industry. And so once nicotine pouches kind of started becoming popular and we saw them on social media and we saw different people we knew using them, we knew that was something we needed to look into as well.
Yeah, I remember the settlement agreement and stuff involving the company Juul, which was the biggest e-cigarette manufacturer vaping product, and led to a lot of stuff. And then Juul pulled their flavored products from the shelves. And now it sounds like you guys are shifting to nicotine patches, which seems like it's the next avenue in terms of addicting youth, or getting them addicted to nicotine.
Definitely. Yeah. The one of the sources we looked at, the FDA's National Youth Tobacco Survey, actually shows that overall nicotine and tobacco usage amongst youth is decreasing, and the one product category where it is actually increasing is nicotine pouches, which is why it's a major red flag to us.
What are physicians saying about the impact of nicotine on youth?
That's a great question. What we know is that for nicotine in general is obviously a highly addictive substance, and it's even particularly addictive to youth because they're still in developmental stages. It can also have impacts on attention and learning and impulse control in youth because they're still going through that developmental stage. And it also could have reproductive impacts. So, especially people who are trying to conceive a child, they may be particularly prone to the impacts, the negative impacts of nicotine. And there's also impacts of nicotine on things like blood pressure. It could increase blood pressure and also different cardiovascular effects.
Yeah, a lot of different impacts, it sounds like. You have this report that came out. What are you hoping that this report will ultimately achieve then?
Like you mentioned, I think one of the things we hope this does is expose that more regulation needs to happen. It's great that this law has been passed, and so hopefully now that it has been made clear that not all retailers are complying with this law, hopefully that encourages more regulation to be done. And it's obviously something CEH will always continue to look into. And on top of that, I think besides just increasing transparency and awareness for the state and regulators, we hope that the report could do the same in increasing transparency just for everyday people. And one thing that's included in the report is a pledge. And if you sign the pledge, you get a free tip sheet about how to talk to your children or young people in your life about the potential impacts of nicotine pouches to kind of help inform youth so that they're able to make decisions with all the information available to them.
Yeah, great. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you so much.
My guest list was Caitlin Moore, research manager at the Center for Environmental Health and author of the new report, A Candy Shop of Deception: Big Tobacco's Evolving Plan to Addict Generations of Users.